We'll go around the horn and play catch up. I always like to start the call off with what's on your minds, anything that we need to kind of go back through since our last call, and then we'll cover the new materials of the day. So, maybe we'll start with you, Michael, and you were on the plane. I don't know if you picked up everything, but was there anything on your mind so far in terms of what we've gone through?
No, I mean, I think we're making progress as a, individuals as well as a team, where we've got the clients narrowed down.
Okay.
We've got this, we're starting to develop the systems where we're assigning clients to other advisors to work. Okay. So I think we're getting there. Some of it's crunched at the end of the year. There's other, unfortunately, in as you know, with numbers and goals and hitting certain things by December 31st or they don't count, has right. a little bit of precedence on some of it. So right. that's a little bit of finalizing and getting it all fully into place, but we're getting there.
I like to say that there's not an off season in our business, the NBA has an off season, NFL has an off. There's no off season in financial services. It's like you're finishing up the year and then you're trying to get another one cranked up.
That's right.
In January, everybody starts at zero again, right?
Everybody's unemployed in January 1st, right?
That's right.
No money.
Okay.
So true.
So, okay, well, that's good. I'll throw out a question to you. How are you doing in terms of being able to communicate kind of the concierge service model? Are you comfortable with that at this point?
Yeah. I don't have an issue. I just got to get it done now.
Okay.
And, again, with the traveling up there, it hasn't, haven't really been able to do it. We have a certain thing that, again, with certain things that we have to get recruits to certain numbers. So that's been, like I said, it's been a little bit of challenging for me, but right. I don't have a problem relaying that to the people. I think you relayed it pretty well. I read it a few times.
Okay.
I think I'm comfortable with that.
Very good. Very good. Lenny, let's hear from you. Anything on your mind? I love that Florida scenery that Brant's got going there. That looks pretty good.
That's his home.
Oh, okay. Nice.
That's real. No, yeah. I think things are going well. And, I've actually talked to, I would say at least 5 to 8 clients.
Okay.
Moving forward in 2021. As I go in a leadership role, my time's, limited to, who I can help out. And I've actually designed a concierge service. And, you are one of those, few people that I am working with. And here's how it's going to work moving forward. And I've had a really positive response. I'm quite shocked by it. A lot of them were very thankful on that. Seemed like I get the concept because they seem special.
Felt like they got a promotion all of a sudden, right?
They did. I was like, whoa, like I saw their reaction and I was very happy by it. So,
okay. Any issues or concerns?
I, the only thing for me that like is stressing me out and driving me crazy, kind of the same thing like Mike was saying, is unfortunately, we have certain numbers that are pretty nice numbers for the end of the year to hit for like new advisors that we're helping out, and
right.
getting there always is can be a little frustrating. So,
well, your priority is to finish your year on a positive note. Okay, mm-hmm. The supernova stuff you do to the extent that you can. And then, we'll do what we can and we'll come out of the blocks, really, really strong in January. So, I'm just amazed that, you guys have really embraced it so, wholeheartedly. So, that's really good.
And one last thing, Curtis, everyone here knows, that I applied, that role. So
okay.
You were really helpful on that. So just a heads up for anyone else, Curtis gave me some really excellent advice as far as interviewing, business plans and others. And, you know, it's very much appreciated. So thank you very much.
Okay. You're quite welcome. And how do you think it went since everybody knows? Did you feel a lot more comfortable going in?
I think the thing that helped me out the most was the STAR and going over situations, tasks, actions, and results in an interview.
Right.
And relating more to stories. It helped me very much when they asked difficult questions to come up with that system.
Right.
Relay that. So that was the most helpful.
And those are the things that an interviewer remembers. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't remember all the open-end, closed-end questions, the yes or no. But what they do remember is they remember when you recant the situation, this was the task at hand, these were the actions I took, and these were the results. That's the STAR interview process. So that's what the interviewer will certainly remember.
Yep. So as soon as I have any updates, I will be sure to let everyone know.
Okay. Very good. So Mario, let's kind of hear from you. Give me an update.
I just finished a call and I did the reverse. I was offloading a client.
Oh, okay.
And she's one client that complained about the level of service she was receiving for over a year.
Okay.
And she didn't take any of my recommendations, so I didn't give her the service. Right. And I just offloaded her to one of our junior advisors. I did a joint call with him. And, you know, he's been reaching out to her for the last couple months, and she's like the happiest person ever. So
there you go. All right.
It's a big positive, and it's a weight lifted off my shoulders, so she doesn't drive me crazy anymore.
Exactly. Okay. So, Brent, are you able to talk at this point?
Yeah. No, I can talk.
Give me an update.
To be honest, I haven't had a chance to really implement anything. Priorities have been all over the place. I love the system, and I love the, I love the fact that we can give, clients an experience.
Right.
I just haven't been able to do it because just too much going on right now, but I'm going to really start giving it a lot of my attention in February.
Okay.
I'm having a child like in a couple of weeks. So
I haven't really been doing much of anything
except getting ready for that.
You got a little minor distraction going on there.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the only thing I've been thinking of is with Supernova, I'm excited to like keep clients and get rid of clients for sure. With like the monthly touches, do people want to be touched monthly? And like, how do we gauge if that's even a thing that people want? I know like for me, like I don't want to be touched monthly. I don't really like in any capacity, that just doesn't work for me. And that's one question I have for you. The other question I have for you is that I think about all the time is staff. And, as we grow our teams, and maybe that's something you cover, is how do we create staff amongst this Supernova group so that we can all make more money and all grow our squads and have more efficiency within our groups.
Okay.
Our branch level doesn't like, they don't like help us with staff. Like we have to take it all on ourselves.
You gotta do it on your own. Right.
So I just imagine some like fictitious scenario where we have like a recruiter and we have someone who's doing paperwork and someone who's doing scheduling. And obviously I don't think that's realistic, at least yet, but that's what I imagine. I think that would make everyone's life so much better.
Okay. So for example, look, I'm touching you once a week. And then after 12 weeks, I'm going to touch you once a month. And you know what the agenda is. You kind of know that there are things that are important that I need to cover with you. and your clients who aren't used to being touched don't really think that there's anything worthwhile that you really need to cover with them. And so, you know, what you have to do is you've got to put together your 12 to 24 month agenda of topics, some designed to educate and some involve reviews. Because look, I don't know, for example, like you're getting ready to have a baby. And if somebody hadn't touched you in 4 or 5 months, they're not even going to know that you're about to have a child. And what does that mean? Do we have to now update the trust? Do we need to be thinking about how we're going to educate that child? Do we have sufficient insurance coverage to protect the money machine in the event that something happens? And so when you have these monthly calls, you're going to send out an executive summary. And that executive summary is going to speak to, this is what we covered, this is what we discussed, this is what we agreed to, and these are the next steps. So you've actually set up the next call. So that's how it should work. And you should tell them, you know, these calls will last 15 or 20 minutes, and that's it. And if we need to go longer than that, then, you know, I will ask your permission if you can stay on the phone just a little bit longer, because there may be some points that we need to cover. When you look at your, yeah, sorry.
When I was proposing it to clients, I think the big thing that I've learned is you might get somebody that says they don't want it. They don't want to be part of it, right? If you tell them what we're doing,
right?
Somebody says, hey, I don't need to talk to you that much. I don't want to talk to you that much. So I said, great. Well, then you're not going to be part of my program. Right. So not a high priority. So if I'm generating revenue off them, right, I'll keep it, but then I'm not going to implement them into the program.
Right. And, you know, look, we're not going to twist people's arms to, you know, to get the contact. And what I would do anyway is I would put them on the call schedule and see what happens. You know, if they say, damn it, you're calling me again, you know, you're taking up 20 minutes of my time to try to help me and save my life and diversify my portfolio, and I'm angry as hell about that. So, you know, sorry, Mr. Jones, we're just here to help you. So, you know, I would, with some, just go ahead and schedule them with the ones that are, that are really, really negative. Don't push it. Okay.
Yeah. So the people who meet that qualification of like your top 100, like I didn't really think about that when Mario said it, but really if you try it, they don't want like the monthly, you know, whatever, then that's great because, you know, you're making revenue off them. They've confirmed that they don't want like this monthly shout out, but you can keep them as a client. And it's probably one of the easiest clients you'll have to,
yeah,
you know, deal with because there's not much, you know, oversight.
Drop them to once a quarter.
I had some
exactly
who said, just call me once a year.
Uh-huh. And,
okay. And this was like a couple of years ago. And then I did that. And then like 6 months later, after I spoke to them, they all of a sudden I got an alert that they're transferring their money. Right.
Yeah.
And I said, why are you transferring your money? You told me once a year is fine. And then they ended up keeping the money here and they apologized.
Yeah.
So you can't say it's a lack of service if
they say they don't know. They don't know. They think that each call you're trying to sell them something. It's service first. Okay. All right. These are very, very good questions. Great dialogue. Okay. Anything else on your minds before we go into some new material?
Let's go for it.
All right. So let me just check my notes and make sure that, you know, I've got my notes on the things that we've been covering. Okay, very good. So, you know, what we want to do on these calls is kind of a combination of supernova and then anything that we need to kind of cover from a leadership point of view. And one of the things that came up, and I don't want to ignore that, was how do we create staffs and build teams around ourselves, okay? You know, that was one of the things, I think, quite frankly, that was maybe one of the best things I did in my entire career, is I would take, you know, people and I would build them up, I would coach them up, and I would get them to take on different duties and responsibilities. And I'm going to give you some examples of that. So I had what I call, and these were all FAs that were financial advisors that were producers. And one of the things I did is I, like I had a guy who was really good with annuities. He became the annuity specialist for the office. I had somebody that was really good in business financial services. He became that specialist for the office. That what that meant was that he was responsible for orchestrating agendas, taking a part of what I called advisory meetings. And it's like you're the conductor and you're calling on the strings, okay? The strings, it's time for you to get in there. The horns, it's time for you to get in there. And so I had a guy who interfaced with all of the internal mutual fund wholesalers. And I had somebody responsible for all the external mutual. So I broke it down by product, and I broke it down between those strategic products and the tactical products. And then when I got a couple of sales managers, because the operation got very, very large, I had one who was responsible for all of the tactical product areas and worked with those coordinators. So I created the old pyramid, right? And then I had somebody that focused on all the strategic products. So manage money is like a strategic product. And give them, you know, a little stretch assignment. And what it does is it does a couple of other things. It kind of feeds their ego. It makes them a part of the organization. It makes them feel like they're making a contribution beyond their own self-interest. What we found is that money in and of itself isn't a sufficient motivator to keep people, you know, tied to you. So it's those cultural dynamics that you do that make a difference. And so, you know, like I brought in this woman who, you know, she was really, really good. So I made her my special assistant. And what her job was is to, she interfaced with everybody, but I gave her an additional responsibility of making sure that we recorded the cultural dynamics in the office. For example, we put together an office newsletter, and she would interview FAs that had big days, and she would take their photos and their picture, and it would be a success story. These were the facts. This is how this FA interacted with the client. These were the results. This was why he did it. And so she had that role. which meant that I put people's names up in lights. So that's one of the things that I did. And I put some kind of, fancy name to it. I think it was called the Bull Sheet. And it went out. So if somebody was having a success in an annuity or insurance, a second to die, that went out. Everybody knew about it. And it was, they got special recognition. Their picture was in there. And also new marriages, births, announcements went in that little newsletter. So I was creating my own little culture. Now, when I got really big and started to run a region of 3,000 employees, I took that same concept and it was all web delivery so that people could go on the internal web and see the success stories and read about their peers and things of that nature. So it's the same thing, you know, whether you're small or as you get larger and bigger, you still are creating a cultural dynamic and building your team. So what you have to do is think about what you need in terms of team members. You know, is there somebody, you know, that's got the financial planning expertise? Somebody that's responsible for brand, that's marketing. Making sure that, you know, when your client opens their folder, there's a picture of the team and your vision, your value proposition in there. Something that separates you and makes you larger than life, okay? So I think that could be almost an entire discussion talking about, you know, how you build your own team and your infrastructure, but that's part of it. Let me stop there. Let me stop there. How does that resonate?
I thought of two things. First, just curious what your guys' thoughts are. You know, kind of like a daily shout out to put someone up in lights. You know, our commissions are called PCs.
Right.
We have like our assistant, you know, whoever has the highest PCs in Mike's team, you know, Mario, myself, and Brant's, just give a quick shout out, like an email. Hey, you know, look what, you know, Brant did today. Like, congratulations. You know,
right.
That would be something nice. And just
see, I think, but what I want them to understand, it's while we're really excited about the production credit that they were able to achieve, what's more important is how did they get it? You know, what did they do? How did they create that emotional connection with the client and drive the business? What drove that business? And so they get interviewed, or you not only give the shout out, but you give the person 3 to 4 minutes and give them the outline. Tell us what you did, how you did it, what the client problem was, the solution, and rationale. That's impactful. Okay, so success breeds success, right?
Agreed.
Okay.
So maybe on a weekly basis, and then Gina can interview the person.
Yeah. So that's a great thought, great idea.
So Curtis, if we as a group think there's something that takes the most amount of time from us but makes us the most amount of money, should we throw money at that by hiring staff?
Well, I think you got to, my thing is it's got to be a kind of a 3-to-1 situation, you know, meaning for every dollar that's invested, can you get 3 back? Okay. And if you can't, then, you know, you got to really give that some serious thought as to whether or not an additional staff person is going to really do the job. But you know, if you look at the roles, in fact, I was just talking to a team about this yesterday. And, you know, you got the concierge practice, but then, you know, how are duties and responsibilities delegated to help drive team performance? So, you know, you got to put in the folks in place to do that. Now, the administrative person becomes the VP of brand. And what they do is they're responsible for making sure that the scheduling takes place, that the 12-4-2 is implemented, you know, so on and so forth. Your VP of plan and plan implementation, you know, they're making sure that the plan gets executed, the ideas come to fruition. The one that's responsible for plan implementation is making sure that, okay, here's our portfolio. This is what it looks like. These are some of the issues that were uncovered in the plan. So when you, and back to Brent's issue, when you do this plan and now you're working on plan implementation, believe me, that is more than a once a year call. Okay. So, you know, when you say, okay, we've implemented and in the planning process, you're saying, okay, we identified these 10 things. Now, we're not going to jump on all 10, but there's three, let's cover the three priorities that you decided that you wanted to do. And then let's work with one. And then once one is satisfied, then on our next call, next steps, we'll implement phase two, okay, on your plan. So that now you're really setting up your call agendas, okay?
So, Curtis, I have a question. Yeah. So in our office now, we have two staff people.
Okay.
Paid for by the company.
Okay.
Right. Take their directives from us somewhat, but our challenge right now is trying to figure out how to manage them to be in line with us, because they've had kind of a free reign for so long, and we're growing, that we're trying to make sure that everybody's on the same page.
Right. Well, you know, that's one of the things about Supernova is we generally like to have the staff people on the phone as well, or, you know, on the call as well, so that, you know, you don't have to go back and repeat what you're trying to accomplish. The other thing that I did with staff people, are these people bonused?
No. I mean, we could out of our own pocket, but.
Okay. So one of the things that I would do is, I would give them an incentive, breaking it down to, you know, you far exceeded requirements, you met requirements, or you didn't meet the requirements. You just did what you were hired to do, and you're getting a paycheck for that. But if you want to really accelerate your career, then here's some expectations that I have for you. Help transform our practice. And if we win, you're going to win too and share some of the spoils of success. The other thing that you have to do is you have to inspect what you expect. So like how you get a folder for each of your clients, you get a folder for each staff member. And inside that folder is going to be the last time they were reviewed, that expectations were discussed, and how they reacted to that, and some of the changes that they agreed that they were going to do. And then what you would do is you would put them on a little monthly schedule to see, hey, come on in. You're doing a great job. I just wanted to let you know. And maybe that is 10 minutes. And if you could, I'd like you to have a little more focus on making sure that the schedule is tightened up. Can you do that for me, Mary? Oh, sure, I can do that. Okay, great. So you got to create this winning team where everybody is focused on helping the entire team win. Okay. All right. Good question, though. Great question. And so, you know, I had an office where I think more than 70% of the client associates were receiving supplemental comp. Now, the place went from 50 to 100 million in 3 years, and, you know, from 50 to 135, you know, advisors. But it's putting all those things in place because you can't do it all. I want you to constantly be thinking team. You know, you watch football. So, you know, you got the quarterback, you got the lineman, you got everybody's got an assignment. And if you come into the organization and people are bumping in the walls and don't know what their assignment is, then they need to have an assignment, or she needs to have an assignment. Okay. I mean, I even did that with my, when I was running a region, each manager had a strategic assignment. So I might have two individuals that are focused on recruiting. And what they would do is all the ideas and everything associated with recruiting, they would provide for us, for the whole team. I had a couple focused on client acquisition. I had a couple focused on, you know, partnering with either the private wealth or the institutional middle markets group. You know, so they presented their whole strategy on what they were going to try to do for a year, as well as what they were going to do for their own businesses. Okay. So I gave them a horizontal responsibility. And people thrive on that because those are the things that are going to help them get promoted and be more strategic in their thought process. Make sense? Okay. This is the stuff that's not in the guidebook, but some of this is in my book on teaming. Okay. Efficiency. Efficiency is building this team. It's getting everything scheduled. Your workout is on the schedule. Your meetings with staff on the schedule. Your 10-minute huddles in the morning. Everything, your client meetings scheduled. Your 90-day free look with prospects scheduled. So, you know, that's kind of how you want to operate in this. Make it efficient, a fine-tuned machine. Okay. Any questions on that?
Nope. Okay.
All right. So in section number 4, how are we doing here on time? Okay, we'll probably go till, I don't know, 8:45 to cover this. And if you're watching the videos, but the first part of this is, look, these jobs, because there's no off season, they can be kind of stressful. And so, you know, Rob wants us to take a little breather, and I agree, and focus on, well, how you doing? How's your health? What are you doing to keep yourself, you know, fit, cutting edge, strong, and how to be this corporate athlete. And part of that is planning your ideal day, your ideal schedule. So, you know, some of the things that I do personally is, and I work out 5 days a week. You know, I do strength training. I do some cardio. You know, now cardio is so simple. You go on YouTube on your TV, push the button, and there's some, you know, attractive people that are fit, taking you through the motions for about 20 minutes. It works. But whatever you need to do to kind of create this mental toughness is really, really important. The second is, you know, your spiritual energy, having a great set of values where you're imparting those values throughout your organization. I was on a call with a financial advisor yesterday, and they have somebody in kind of the emerging program who had access to his database of clients who came across a client that somebody else he was working with knew. And what he did is, through subterfuge, got this other FA talking to this other individual's client. And, you know, we're just not going to tolerate that, you know, kind of, you know, behavior. So you gotta set the tone and the values. And, you know, in my office, if somebody did that, and the client said, well, I now want to transfer, that FA would not get one dime of that business for a year. Okay. So I wasn't going to reward the lack of integrity. So that's what I mean by values. Okay.
We had something like that recently in our office. So that's a good strategy.
Yeah. We're not going to reward a lack of integrity. So you've got to be the leaders and the champions of values and what you believe in, you know, and mine were simple. It was, you know, it was all about integrity. It was about respect. It was about, you know, trust, and it was about caring for one another. You know, if you don't want to, you know, succumb to those kind of values, then I can't have you polluting my environment. So the other part of that is a clear vision of where you're going and having a great support system in your family and friends. You know, when you write up a vision and you articulate it, you're not done. People don't get it the first time. You know, I would go in, hey, remember, folks, our vision is to, and I'd articulate that vision almost once a week, and they got it. And eventually they started buying into it. Okay. The third is the emotional energy. I used to always tell people that there are three things that I need from you. I need you to have a positive attitude. I need you to have a strong belief in yourself and the kind of the business that we do, that we're here to help people. And then I need a sense of commitment. I need you to show up. Okay, those are my ABCs. The fourth is the physical energy. And you get that by getting the proper amount of sleep, your exercise, and your diet, keeping your weight in the normal range and staying healthy. Because, you know, when you're going out and you're making your big pitch and you don't win, and you know you got the mortgage coming due at the end of it, it's stressful. So, you know, that's important. So Jim Lehrer has got a book called The Power of Full Engagement. And one time I brought him into my office in Florida just to speak to my whole group about being healthy, you know, And they liked it because, you know, heretofore, a lot of the meetings were about performance and product and all of this. All of a sudden, I brought in a guy who was going to talk to them about their mental health and mental toughness. They really appreciated that. Okay. So that's what I want you to think about as you coach your people up, you know, and you want them to be inspired, having them listen to their favorite song, taking walks, you calling on your mentor or your coach, you know, and then mentor someone else. I can't believe the number of emails I get. You know, I had this one female. She had had to re-kidnap her kids, basically got her education from correspondence schools at the time. Now they got online stuff, but she worked her tail end off. I remember coming back from New York on some meeting and stopped by the office in D.C. to pick some things up. She was still in there working. Nobody else was in there. And she eventually, the two little kids, a boy and a girl, one, the female, went to NYU, got her degree, and the boy finished up at Dartmouth. And is now a part of a multi-million dollar team in that office. So it's just incredible what you do when you mentor people. So just keep that in mind. All right. We talked about planning your ideal day. Everything gets scheduled. So your mindset is moving a lot of the day-to-day management duties to your VP of practice management. And it's hard to let go, but you need to let go, then inspect what you expect and have people doing these things for you so you can free up your time. I'm going to go around the room and you tell me what your top three priorities are. Mario, top three priorities.
Recruiting new advisors, developing, and then last would be revenue.
Okay. Now, how can you do that if you're managing a schedule and trying to introduce new product and do all that other stuff? There's just no time.
Yep.
So you're going to have to delegate. Lenny, what about you? Your top three priorities, same thing?
A lot of them are going to be the same. It's going to be recruiting is by far number one, development of advisors. And then I would definitely say, you know, clients and revenue after that. Very similar.
Okay. All right. Michael?
You know, I would say the same thing. I was going to say, you know, playing tennis or something, I was going to put it number one right now, but no.
Okay.
I would go.
Your health, yeah. Okay, I get it.
Health hasn't been the ideal thing for 2020, but we'll go with it. But no, okay. I mean, in our business as leaders, you know, recruiting, onboarding, development of our associates, and then last would be from a personal production route.
Okay. So I
would say they're all pretty closely aligned, all of us.
Okay.
Got to develop other managers too. We don't have
to.
It's a good point, too.
Brent, did you have anything to add?
I mean, the same stuff. Recruiting, new business, and I would say like managing my clients.
That's where you all get leverage when you spend time on those three things, right? So when you got to get down to doing some of this other stuff, it takes away your effort that you can spend on the things that really drive business performance. So you need to get other people to do the things that you need to get done so you can drive business performance.
So in that, right, like we always go back and forth recruiting is number one, right? Because if we hire, we make a lot of money.
Right.
Should we invest in a recruiter? And that way that frees up our time to make these advisors higher production?
Well, one of the things I think that you do, the recruiters basically work on, they work on a percentage of a trailing, you know, 12. So and let's say that that number is 5%, and they're going to work with you, and they're going to bring you talent. And the talent, see, I always believe is if I get the right person, I can lever them up. So you have to believe that. So if you get somebody, and let's use small numbers, let's say that it's they're doing 100 grand, 5%, okay, recruiter gets 5, okay? So, yeah, you can use recruiters. You can use word of mouth. I got to a point where I just, my people knew people in the market, and they referred people to me. That's how that happened. That's how a lot of it happened. So if you do a really good job developing your people, they will bring you people that they know. And you don't necessarily have to use a recruiter.
Yeah, I think as we scale, that'll get easier and easier, but we still, you know, need the flow.
So initially, you know, that may be something that you need to do. Somebody who's picking up that phone and calling the person at New York Life or calling the person at, you know, your competitors, you know, and trying to set up a breakfast, lunch, or dinner meeting or what have you. And you get to talk to them, and you need to have a recruiting story. When you get ready to recruit, what's your story? How do you bring people on board? You know, it can't be a story, hey, I'm with Equitable, we're exciting. No, we're doing some fantastic things here, you know, in South Florida. What's the recruiting story? Gotcha. Okay. I mean, that's a topic in and of itself, you know, that we can spend some time on later. Okay. So think about your target niche, becoming a specialist in your niche. Talked to a guy yesterday I'm coaching, and the conversation was around, you know, somebody in a medical practice that he was talking to. And then I said, so what are your two niches? He couldn't come up with anything. I says, well, you got any business owners? Yeah, I got a lot of those. Okay, that's a niche market for you. How about these physician practices? Oh, yeah, that's a niche market for us. So, yeah, examine your book and determine where you have a comfort level going after clients. And then when you get that niche, I want to get an article to you on discovering the pain points in your niche market. So let me make a note to send that to you. And as a next step, we'll cover the article on pain points. Okay, let's wrap it up, guys. Any questions? Anything that you valued in particular today?
I think the 3-to-1 on investing dollars was great.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And the staff, that was very helpful. So
okay. Michael, you were about to say something?
Yeah, no, I agree with Mario, actually. That was interesting. I hadn't heard someone ever give me the 3-to-1, and I think it makes a lot of sense, obviously, because, you know, at a certain point, there's a diminishing return. Is it worth having that expense on the books?
Exactly.
You know, overhead. And then just, you know, a lot of the stuff you say is stuff that we think of from time to time. It's just incorporating it all and making sure we, you know, we're running it that way.
Right. Okay. Lenny, anything?
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, we can all talk, you know, offline. But I like the, you know, weekly shout out, you know, maybe from Gina interviewing, saying, hey, like, you know, where did you meet this person? How did you get them over? Like, you know, and what were the actions and results of that? Like, how did that case happen? How did it develop? And, you know, how'd you get such a big win so others can see it?
Great. Brent.
Yeah, I agree with Lenny. I mean, we, I think from the top down or our organization just is so like numbers driven, like, oh, this guy has been crushing it every year and he's got a great month. But like, we don't really talk about like how things happen and
how they
study and like really dive into it. And I think that's something we're definitely missing.
Okay. Well, look, guys, we're done. Let's chat next time. It's been a pleasure being with you. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks.